this is Variety Shunavir for Akashi Media Podcast Live. I want to give you a commentary on the Andrea Kelly Cabaret. Well, I've been watching her videos on Instagram, and they're very interesting, very enticing, I say. And I see she knows how to use the name Kelly. Well, folks, you know, I mean, this is a little different. I understand what her concept is. She wants to kind of like go back to the old saloon days of cabarets of back in the day when they had cabarets. But in the way to me, on the outside looking in, it looks like to me, madam type of lifestyle. In a way, it looks like a little bit of Little Bethel in there, especially when you're dealing with the South and the ATL. But then again, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, so in Highland Park, they had a lot of Bethel homes back in the day, saloon type of homes back in the day. That's why Berry Gordy was able to do movies like Billie Holiday. Because that's what they ran, those type of homes back then, like in Highland Park. Different celebrities who grew up in those type of environments, such as Richard Pryor, you know, James Brown grew up in that type of environment in Alabama. So this is nothing new. It just hasn't been out in the open like it is right now. See, what it seems like to me, the message that I'm receiving is that it's okay for a woman to be enticing, but it's not all right for a man to do it. But then again, looking at the end of that, all of the enticement that they're doing in the public eye of wearing their lingerie and so on and so forth, there are some men out there who's going to think, so what's in it for me at the end of the show? Is it where it ended up with Robert being with someone young? Because I'm looking at some of these young women that are recruited, or young girls that are recruited for her dance routines. You know, I'm looking at them in their little lingerie and things like that. I get it. We've had pole dancing in public, drop it like it's hot. I'm no square. So I'm not going to come off like I'm a square. I'm not going to come off like I'm a church girl or anything like that. Because I get it. I understand. I'm from Detroit. Okay, I've lived in a lot of places, Chicago, Detroit, New York, Ohio. I've lived a lot of different places. I get it. Soldier boys used to come off the boats, the Navy boats, and things like girls. And be girls, 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 girls. I have uncles. I know. I get it. So, hey, well, hell. They want to do this, you know, and they just need to lock the men up. Just open up all the old time saloon days. Let's just go down backwards to the cowboy and Indian days. I mean, my family is no saint to any of this. Not at all. Because you guys, I'm doing this podcast at a baseball game. So that's what you're going to be hearing in the background. This is not no sugar coat thing for me. Because my eyes have seen a lot of things growing up as a child. I was born in 1967, so I grew up in the 70s with the black love and everything. Black love candles, the red light, the blue light, and all that stuff. You know, my family members were born in the 40s, the grandparents in the 20s, and things like that. So there are some things that I learned about some relatives, you know, the churches. I've been to the Baptist churches. I've seen some things with the preachers with the long hair, the long nails, and that's with the cocaine fingernails and things like that, and all kind of stuff. You know, the baptism, you know, throwing you in the water, all that. I ain't seen all that. So she comes from that background of dealing with pastors and all that in the family. I get it. They're all kind of pastors, you know. But to each his own understanding in some of these churches and the way that they carry themselves and the way that they teach their youngs. In the eyes that these youngs have seen, as she had explained, that her grandmother was abused by her grandfather, who was a minister. Well, I'm sure a lot more things had to go on, too, for her to be able to recognize and like cabaret-type dancing in shows. And I'm not unfamiliar with cabarets either. We used to have cabarets in the 80s, but they were different. They were type of cabarets that Rob sung about, the steppers. Those were the type of cabarets we went to. The different cabarets, though, they weren't unclothed. They were stepping, clothed on. But it wasn't the type that she's dealing with the Billie Holiday and the lady that was from Paris, Josephine Baker, you know, things like that. I understand that. All of it has its own type of culture. I'm a woman who used to be a child, and my cousins and all were thrown outside the hula hoops. So we learned how to twist and turn our hips as well and get rhythm through the hula hoops. I understand that. Dropping it like it's hot, like she does and like so many women do in their videos, and they jiggly. But where I come from, when you're doing the right, your booty is skin tight. So you don't always have to be jiggly and let it all hang out. So from my experience of dancing, because I have danced in music videos myself. Now, I haven't always been like a principal, but I've been a background dancer too. But I've been a dancer in music videos. And there's always going to be someone that they choose for a certain look in music videos anyway. But when they really wanted a real dancer, they chose someone like me. Like my girl Kiki, that was in the music videos, like I Like the Way You Move. That girl can dance. That sister was just bad. Everybody loved Kiki when she was dancing in music videos. She was bad sister. Chocolate sister, beautiful sister. You know, she had hips, the booty and everything too. And she had a tight booty as well. That's how my booty is, my booty tight. And, cause my booty not jiggly. But just from my own experience of dancing and being around different dancers, even in my family and things like that, and observing up against the wall on how people dance and things like that, male or female, whether they were house parties and things like that that we had when we were growing up. Like when we dance back in the day, we danced to songs like Prince, Do Me Baby, Rick James, Dance With Me, Gap Band, Yearning for Your Love, Footsteps in the Dark, Isley Brothers. You know, we had all kind of different songs we danced to that gave us a little rhythm. And I had male friends that were actually in high school, in post-high school, some of them, that were strippers themselves. There were male dancers themselves. And we used to go down to the Mozambique. So, you know, that can work both ways and everything. But I know from experience, just watching, observing different relatives, because I have a lot of relatives that are in show business or were in show business, that travel the road quite a bit, you know, because as you know, those who tune into my podcast, I am Nicole Renee, also known as Roslyn, the daughter of Florence Ballard, the first supreme child of Florence. But I just wanted to say, I learned a lot. Now, behind closed doors, I ain't gonna lie, my mama was a pooty cat. Meow. You know, she purr with my daddy. And I mean, she purred. But that's privacy, you know. But from my experience, the way that it looks to me with the show, though, with Drea's show, Drea Kelly's show, is that I think in her show, she need to make sure it's covered up a little bit more. You don't just let all the goods out at in the beginning. I don't think you should just let all the goods out in the beginning. You don't have to, but I've seen some shows. I've seen weekend music videos and things like that. LaToya Jackson used to do Vegas shows and things like that, and they come out with their stockings on and things like that. But sometimes when you want to be enticing, you do need to have a little cover-up. You just don't want to expose it all at once. And you do your own thing. And of course, you should use different type of music too. Oh, cabaret music. But anyway, sometimes you just have to just take your time and just do it right. Especially when the skin is skin tight. Because everybody ain't going to be jiggly in the back of the tail feather. And I know I'm not jiggly in the tail feather area. Nice and smooth and tight. Voluptuous as well. However, I'm just saying, I know everybody like to be jiggly and I ain't never been jiggly. But my thing is, I don't know, I just feel that if you're gonna dance, sometimes you gotta do it nice and slow. And y'all know that Tina Turner is my aunt too. And she said that in her show. You gotta take your time and do it nice and slow. Am I right? Then you let it kick in, the speed of it all, dancing and letting it shake and romp and everything. But you don't want to go in the beginning of just doing it all fast. You got to bring a person to their imagination of, I guess, ecstasy of some format of enticement, if that's what the show is trying to do. But then again, Janet, she don't do that. Janet make a man go crazy too. And she's clothed. And y'all know Janet couldn't even have on a little rubber thing on her nipple without it coming off. And they went damn crazy over that. So you know what Drea's doing. That's on a whole different level. Had it been Janet Jackson doing that, oh my God, look what Janet is doing. You've been playing that video over and over and over and over again if it was a Super Bowl. Just showing her nipple. So you can imagine what it'd be like if Janet Jackson was doing what Drea is doing in dance classes with teddies, with young girls. Whole different level. People be screaming. But I guess these permission slips is okay. Come to the dance show, come to the dance class, but bring your teddy and your lingerie with you. It's all good, you know, this is America. You know, people are not Muslim. Muslim brothers, you know, I know some of y'all Arab brothers in the Dearborn area. Y'all probably be like, oh my God, maybe. And maybe not. But this is America, baby. This is what people do. This is what people do. People do it all over the world somewhere. This is not the first time this has happened. But in a way, it's performing arts. I mean, dance is an art. And after all, folks, God loves entertainment. God loves dancing. But they never said what kind of dancing God liked, did they? They didn't say if it was cabaret dancing. They didn't say if it was, country western dancing. They didn't say. They just say God liked entertainment. He liked dancing. You know. But they did say what's done on earth is also done in heaven as well. However, poor Robert. Two-way street on this one. Two-way street, one-sided, terrible. You got caught up, Rob. She left that marriage broke and she was mad as hell. She had to get revenge on your ass. I just think she was just out for the revenge, hell. You know, she wasn't known as your wife throughout the whole marriage or anything. No one even knew you were married publicly. But you wanted to keep that to yourself. But however, Robert, once that marriage fell apart and that divorce happened, it's like, I'm coming out and I'm going to be this and that. All kind of shit broke out after that. But, oh well. See, I guess sometimes you just have to talk to people to find out what they're really into. But then again, people find out what you're into and then they use shit against you. Now, if it had been my daughter, the one thing I would say is, I would tell my daughter, if you need to know anything, ask me first. Come to me first and I'll tell you. And I'll let you know when you're ready. Because my daughter is a great dancer. She moved her hips very well because I used to dance a lot when I was pregnant. So she had a lot of rhythm. But sometimes still in situations, you have to be careful around your environment and your influences and who you allow to influence your children. I mean, because when you go to something like this and your children are going to be, or your young ladies or your young daughters are going to be in negligees and lingeries, you know, at the end of all of this, what happens? We going to get paid? Is there going to be anything else outside of this dancing that's going to be connected to anything else? Just like what has happened to Robert. Anything sexual is going to come after this performance or what? I mean, these are questions people should ask, you know, but to each his own, because I'm not here to be a hater. I just think that it's touchy. It's touchy to me because Robert's in there now for 30 years, and it's like, why the hell is it not appropriate for her not to be there? Because it makes me feel like just watching some of these damn videos that she knew. She knew. And it's like, all right now. Like, the world has stand up for me and it's okay that I do this shit on this level. But it's touchy to me because I grew up with Robert. It's touchy to me. Because it's not too far off from where he was being accused of. And what people were saying, that one of the witnesses said that she had been in bed with Robert Andrea. It's touchy to me to see these videos that she's doing with her cabaret. But I understand what she wants to do with the cabaret. It's good and it's bad to me in my eyes. Everyone's going to have their own opinion, of course. But it's good and bad to me. But it's touchy because of where he's at now. But at the same time, Robert didn't have to intertwine with anyone or co or mingle with anyone like that. So my thing is that I know it's hard to believe. It's just, I can't see it all being just him. That's all. I just can't all see it being just him. You know? It's okay. She'll black madam, black pimp, black hottie flies. But it's going to be acceptable. It's going to be acceptable because people needed to get Robert, because Robert was not paying some people. Some people didn't make it. Some people couldn't stay on top. Some people wanted to be on top. And he stole some people, I guess, their dreams when maybe he told them they couldn't sing or something. But record labels are like that. I worked at Sony Music. And Sony Music is the type of record label that if your next hit ain't a hit, they're going to shelve your ass. Simple. They don't care how much money you made the first album. They put money into you. They're marketing you. They want hit after hit after hit after hit. No matter how big of a star you are, if you don't make hits, they're going to shelve you or discontinue you from the label. That's how Sony is. That's how a lot of record labels are. And Robert had a longevity of 30 years of being in the industry. Now, that one band that he started out with, that he helped get their first album out, public announcement, they didn't want public announcement. They wanted Robert Kelly. That's how they are. Same thing with James Brown. They didn't want all of the musicians. They wanted James Brown. That's just how it works in the industry. You know, so Robert has had some people that were even guys who wanted to be more than a friend in a way that Robert did not want to be. And he said, no, I am a straight man. And I'm going in this direction. And some men were offended by that. And that's when some of those rumors started dropping that he was dealing with kids. When his career first got started. So, it's bad. Sometimes you just can't be with everybody, you know? But sometimes when I look at things like this, it's good when nobody wants you. It's good to be on that side when nobody like you or nobody want you. Because when you on that level and everybody just want to get at you and take from you and everything, just because you made it, you're successful. Oh my God, look at Tiffany Haddish. Look what she worked for. She used to be in foster care. And out of the blue, out of nowhere, someone come and say that Tiffany Haddish has some molestation thing going on with a guy, a boy or something. And she said, I lost everything all because of that. All of my work, all of her movie deals. She said, went down the drain immediately right after that accusation was made about her. You know, and that person doesn't care, because when everything went down a drain for her, they dropped their case after that. See, there are people out there who don't want to put in any work. They just want to fucking climb over you, take what you work for and what you got, and move on. They don't want to put in the work. They want to just take over and get over. The takers. So you have to think about things like that when you're out there and you're making it big. Your enemies always can't be your friends. But sometimes some of you keep your enemies close. You know, there are people who's always trying to find out if you have money. Hell no, I'm broke. Let my mom Flo used to say, I ain't got no damn money. What money? I ain't got no money. Sometimes you have to go that route. Because if you ain't got no money, people just gonna leave your ass alone and find somebody else that got money. Then they can be friends with and deal with on the regular. Because I have relatives that have been with my friends who are multimillionaires. And my multimillionaire friends that I started off with, I'm not in their life every day like they are with my relatives who sit underneath my friends, and they've helped them come up and make money and make a name for themselves and pay them good salaries and money, but they've never done that for me. But then again, we don't call each other. And now today, we don't remember each other, or they don't know me, don't remember me, and things like that. But I forget no one. But it's all good, though. But that's how things happen. What do you do? I don't know. Just stay true to yourself. Really. Because I, myself personally, I just really would not be able to get caught up in a lot of things. You must have the right people around you. Or you're just going to be a loner to yourself and just be your own best friend. There's only two ways. You're either going to have a great team, great, you know, people around you that want the best for you, or you're going to have people against you. They just want to take from you. Some people don't want to take from you right away. They want you to build the shit up. Then they want to take from you. But it's different sometimes when you get married and your spouse might be in another relationship with someone else, like I've experienced. And that person doesn't want my spouse to deal with me financially. They want to feel like that they're the queen on top and deserve to be here. But no one really looks at it in the way that it's presented, because my husband knows for a fact why he married me. And he damn sure would tell, I'm sure, someone, but he's definitely had told me many times, I married you because you're smart. That's number one. He's right, I am. In a lot of ways. But then again, he'll say at the same time, but I'm smarter. In some ways he is, in some ways he is, you know. But don't ever think that I won't go learn what you know, though, for myself. Because I'll still stay on your level. Doesn't necessarily mean, because where I come from, doesn't necessarily mean just because you've been with another woman for some quiet of time that I'm not entitled to spouse revenue. Because there are a lot of relationships that I've been around that have stayed married for years and years and 30 and 40 years and never got a divorce. And they died and they just came and collect because I'm the wife. You know, you could be a beneficiary to anyone, but I'm still the wife. You know, regardless of what side of the world I'm on. That doesn't mean that the marriage is abandoned. Because if I tried to serve you, and I've been around relatives too, who have served their divorce papers, to their soon to be exes and they read it and they looked at it and they already had been or established a new relationship and they hand them the divorce papers and they leave and they'll say, sign it. And they'll leave and then they'll tear it up. Or they just don't sign it at all. I've been around those kind of relatives. And sure enough, I did some checking and they were still married after 50 years. But it didn't make the other party a bigamist. They just didn't do it. They just assumed that they did it. So you have to ask yourself sometimes, why do they want to stay married to someone that they don't want to be with? Be in a relationship with? Why would you not want to sign the divorce papers? And you were someone who's supposed to look better. They're supposed to be more tolerable. Someone who's less argumentative. Someone who's a little bit more docile than what you or I may be. Because I might be too assertive. Too outspoken. And speak my mind. So they need someone who's a little bit more puppy-like. I'm none of that. Because if I feel something and I can see through something and I know something, I'm going to say it. And I told my spouse, I said, Michael, you know what? Something is not right. Because my mind and my body is telling me somebody else has tainted the personal part of your body. And I can feel it in my navel. So when you want to go into an attitude of, oh, you tripping, oh, you crazy, oh my God, why you thinking like that? Look, if you in that relationship that I said you were in the first place and you wanted to lie about it and deny it, just admit that I was right in the first place and that my instincts was right, my gut feeling was right, and my eyes were able to see what was real. Because you're there in that relationship that you denied in the beginning. So what is the problem with admitting that I was correct and that I could see through you? Just that simple. It didn't have a damn thing to do with me being crazy, because I'm not crazy. You crazy to think that I couldn't see through your ass. So, I'm just going to say this. People, they get what they want. As a woman, I realized years ago, there's always going to be someone better looking. Someone that's going to have some of the right words to say or whatever it may be. But I know my spouse too. I can tell the look on his face. You are not happy there. Your ass is miserable. You are going through a fake relationship you just can't stand. But you are putting on a front. Because this woman needs to be taken to the next level to look good. When you knew I could do that on my own. And first of all, you're living on my name anyway. So when we started out our marriage, we started out our marriage with $3 million together. And she came with nothing, but you brought a great asset because obviously you found someone you felt that can go get more money for you and help build. So whatever has been built, I'm not going to tear it down because I'm just going to have to sue two damn people, you and her. That damn simple. More the merrier. But anyway, I agree with what Tria Kelly is doing in a way with her dancing or what she wants to do. And in a way, I feel like it's double-sided only because of what Robert has gone through. And I just never could feel that. I could never feel that Robert did this all by himself. I just could never feel that. And I know you was a hot ass when you met him. Because you were quick to get out your parents' house. You were quick to get up out their house because you wanted to go on tour. You was ready to leave. You were a fast ass and you know it. Because your aunt lived right next door to me, Christine McElroy. And Carol McElroy lived right next door to me. On Wyoming. So, you know I seen you a few times and you know you was excited and you was ready to get up out of your parents' house. So you only tell one side of the story, Drea. When it comes down to, oh, okay, I was dancing for a Rob, and then no, you don't tell the whole story on how fast your ass was back then. You don't tell it all. You tell part of it. Miss, I'm moving to Chicago. There you go. It's all good, though. You know, I see that people are going to soon start following what Drea is doing. And so, you know, let's just go back to the old Wild Wild West days and just have saloons and things like that reopen again. Hell. This is what saved people do. This is what godly people do. Just let it all damn hang out. Hell, we only live once. Just everybody just have a damn good time. Let's just get it out in the fucking open. Let's just stop trying to be so damn sanctified. Because we know that damn shit ain't true. Because you know damn well the industry has always been ruled by the devil. Why? Because he was God's greatest angel in the first place. And he was the one that God cast to the earth in the spirit. And he was the one that God said, reproduce my seed. I guess he said, in that case, I gotta fuck everything that's out there. He did. So we all got that sin in us from day one. Whether it was Holy Mary or who it was, he didn't care. Holy Mary, Proud Mary, all kind of Marys. Hell, he ain't did it. That's life. That's just the spirit of a man and a woman. It goes both ways. So we're not going to sugarcoat. I myself personally, as a mother, I would talk to my daughter about dancing, what kind of people she get involved with. I did put my daughter in a performing arts school. And my daughter did do auditions. And my daughter did become a lead dance choreographer at her school. Because she's a great dancer. My daughter's a great leader. My daughter can always follow great directions. Even with music, my daughter can hear a sound of music. You can play music to her on a keyboard and she can play it right back to you. And there's some things that I will have to do maybe a couple times, but my daughter could get it the first time. My daughter is very gifted in many ways. Her father is very gifted. Marcel is very gifted in music. Her father is a person who knows how to orchestrate music. He's very good in that. He can sing very well, so the apple doesn't fall far from either tree because she has the talent from both of her parents. I know for a fact that if he were to see Kristen and something like that in public in lingerie, he would take it off of her or tell her put a robe on or something. He would not want that to be his daughter on stage with lingerie on. I don't feel he would do that. Me personally, I know Kristen's cute and I've seen her in some things, but I feel my daughter's private in her own way too. She's done a little bit of modeling, a little bit, as a kid. And I saw her pictures and she looked cute to me. But when I look at the pictures, some of her pictures now, and I see her face, it's like, okay, my daughter don't look too happy on this picture that she took, because my daughter can look real serious when she takes photographs. But she made a great model, you know. But I always made it so that my daughter could always say, Mom, I don't want to do this, and this is not the field that I want to do. That's cool. But when I hear a field that I know my daughter would not go into, like being a doctor, which I know she would not do, I just know my child. I know the type of person she is. She's a Virgo. She likes entertainment. She likes to write. She likes to write music. She likes to write lyrics. That's her gift. She's a Virgo. She's good with that. She can write stories. She can write films. She wanted to be a filmmaker. Doctor, that's off key. There are people who have tried to manipulate and make it seem as though my daughter was going into medical. And I go, no. She's never taken any classes for medical, not even in high school. She didn't even have that interest even in junior high school. My daughter is an athlete. She's played baseball. She's taken underdog teams and hit home runs, and they've won championships. My daughter is a team player. My daughter is talented in basketball. Her coach was Kobe Bryant's father for a while, who was going to get her on the LA Sparks. Coaches started coming to see her and some of her friends who also played basketball in high school. So I know my daughter. I definitely know for a fact that being a doctor is not something my daughter would choose to be. So when people try to switch up things and try to make it look like my daughter is doing something, I would say absolutely not. And as a parent, you just have to know your child and know your child. And when you know your child, you have to let people know that's not something that my child would do. That's too far off. When I start seeing websites that say things like food porn and having a big D served and all this stuff and tossing a salad, those are things they said back in the 80s, tossing a salad and all that. That's all sex. So if my daughter's tossing salads and doing anything dealing with food porn, then you already know what I know what the hell that is. I'm only 54 years old. So, I've seen a lot in my lifetime. And I'm definitely before my daughter's time as well. So no one has to try to keep my daughter from me because, number one, I have a great relationship with God, that God is going to give me a vision in my sleep, a dream, or he's going to bring a vision to me, or he's going to put something in front of me to let me know what my child is into. Like, I know they have trap houses now. and things like that. I've seen some of her friends on Facebook. They're talking about pornography. They're going to pornography events. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing with girls in pornography for? But I know that one day I got in my daughter's SUV truck and there was some videotapes, DVDs, not videotapes, but DVDs that was on the side of the passenger side on the slot. And I got in the car and she immediately removed them. Mm-hmm. And she didn't want me to see them. But I know someone who said that she looked familiar to them. With this name called Lady Lay. You've been doing some shit out there in Detroit. And don't think that I don't know. But the one thing that my daughter don't have to do is look down at your feet. Why are you gonna look down at your feet? Because I had told you in the beginning that you were not ready to be on your own yet. I'm your mother, and you were not ready to be on your own yet. There are a lot of things you still needed to be taught by me before you left the treehouse. But you had to find out things on your own terms, in your own way. And I know you did. And it's nothing that you thought it was going to be. And I know you regret it. And I know you wish you had just stayed your ass at home. And I know you do. And you don't tell me that you don't feel that. Because you wasn't ready to have kids. There are a lot of things that happen that I know that happen. And there's a big difference between my daughter and myself. Because number one, my daughter got put in positions where she wasn't able to say no. She lost her control. She wasn't able to protect herself. She didn't have the control that she wanted. She couldn't have the resistance that she wanted. She wasn't able to fight back. And this little guy that she's been with, I can look at him and tell he thinks he's somebody with a penis. He thinks he owns somebody because he made somebody have a baby and forced it on somebody. He thinks he's some big motherfucker. You ain't met me yet. That's why your ass staying away. But when you do, that little wee-wee you got gonna get chopped the fuck off. Excuse me. I'ma back that up because I'm not supposed to say those type of things. It's violence. According to the community guidelines, let me back that up. When I see him, I'ma handle it. But it's a damn shame because you do need to learn how to protect yourself. You do need to take certain courses in self-defense. You have to use certain tactics. You don't have to give your number out. You have to learn how to deal with assertive and aggressive men, women, people that's trying to push you into things, people who felt like, well, this is how I grew up and this is what went on in my household and this and that, and why go through this, why can't you? You got to know how to deal with certain kind of people. And my daughter, I'm sure, understood why I kept her away from a lot of people. But at the same time, my daughter gave in to people that were against me as well. But that's unfortunate. It's very, very, very unfortunate. But you're going to live and learn because, see, people want to taint your children. But I look at life as, well, hell, you know what? You learn a lot about people and things that people wanted to keep secret from other people and act like that they weren't doing. They were going to come out in the closet with you around. So everybody got a story to tell about something. especially in that family, or so-called relatives, or people who became relatives through marriage. But getting back to this thing with Drea Kelly, I'm kind of hurt at it at the same time, because I just feel like Robert's in there and she's just able to do this publicly. And it's just like kind of like a slap in the face. I don't know if that's what it is. I know she said she always just wanted to dance. I saw her one of her shows before when she was doing a reality show. And she said, I just want to dance, man. I just want to dance. I don't think Robert ever held her back from dancing, because he allowed her to be his dance choreographer for his tours. So he never tried to hold her back from dancing, because he did allow her to shine in that aspect. So I don't see him really trying to hold her back, you know, in that way. And she was still seductive in her choreography in on stage. And I like the videos that she did with Robert, you know, and I thought that she was talented. I'm just as talented. But I don't know, Drea. I just think sometimes part of me feel like you kind of send mixed messages. That's what I feel. And I know you're working on getting your own television show, but I still feel that you send mixed messages. You send mixed messages with domestic violence, in a way that you talk about your relationship with Robert, that you was in this marriage for 10 years. With some women, all it takes is one time to hit a woman or to hurt, or to hit someone, and they leave and they walk out. You know, and to me, you send a mixed message like, oh, I couldn't leave. Like, I had to get something out of it. I had to buy more time in this. I had to have more kids. I couldn't just have one child. I had to have more kids. I had to get something out of this more. And I had to get more time. It didn't have to be like that one time or 1 year or 6 months into it. It's like you needed to feel like you needed to buy more time into it. And then you made your deadline and your timeline or when you wanted to leave. And then when you asked Robert for a divorce, he just said, okay, cool. He signed without a second thought. Like, he was ready. I mean, because you said on the reality show that you threw a $50,000 ring in the pond. You said you was not in love with him anymore. You made it clear to him you wasn't in love with him anymore by throwing a ring in the pond. A $50,000 ring in the marriage ring in the pond. So I, at the same time, feel like, why all the crying and all of that on television when you didn't love him anymore? Your feelings were gone, you know? And I myself didn't really feel that when you guys really got together anyway, to me. I just didn't feel that. I just felt like, okay, Robert's big. He's going to make money and whatever. And just like any other woman that's trying to come out on top, I went through that even with my own marriage. You have a man who's talented. He got it going on. He's on top. And the one thing about me, because I dated Rob for a little while, but Rob and I didn't, we had a platonic relationship. Our relationship never became sexual. But I dated Floyd Mayweather for a little while, and our relationship was platonic. It never became sexual. But we have slept together. I've slept with both of them together in the bed, but it was never never sexual. But I was still dearly special to both of these men. And I've always met men who were intelligent and talented and have money, you know. So I've never had a problem with that, even with my spouse. I attract those type of guys, you know. I I myself just look at it like someone always seemed to want what I got. It was my man, my kid, something. They always seemed to want what I got, what I have. You know, like they didn't feel I deserved it. You know. And I don't fight for everything, too. I'm just not that type. And I don't fight for everything because once I realized in my own marriage, in my own relationship, that my husband did not want to sign the divorce papers, I knew then that he didn't have what he really wanted in that relationship. See, sex is not everything because there was something else there that he felt he knew he could not have in that relationship. Sure, you can go dress up and be the dress up puppet. And you can go get the lace wigs and put on the makeup and the hair and the dress and all of that. But when I look at his face and I see someone who's just like staring in a blank face and the smile is not real, it's not. You can see the difference between when he was in pictures with me and smiling with me in photographs where he's like got this cheese like it's like a sting in his ass or something. It's a different type of look altogether. He looks sad. He looks bitter. He looks mad, you know. And then this person goes and say, oh, okay, I got pregnant. I have the baby. You know, you need to be here with me. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah, okay, but who fault was that? You know, but still, people feel like, okay, as long as this person is with me, then he's my man and this and that. No, the fuck he's not. He's my husband. And as long as his ass don't sign the divorce paper, he's still my husband. And I'm a notary, so I have all rights to notarize any documents as a spouse of his. So if I want to redo something, I can do that because I'm the spouse. See, I'm a real woman. I'm going to deal with a woman, woman to woman. I'm not going to hide from you. I'm not going to act like, oh, I'm here and I need to avoid this and just don't call and just don't give your new number or just don't give your email. No, I'm a real motherfucker. When I want to deal with someone, I'm going to sit down and have a motherfucking talk because that's how my mother was, woman to woman. My mother always had woman-to-woman conversations whenever she had to deal with another woman when it was regarding a man. They always had woman-to-woman conversations face-to-face. It wasn't just leave it alone, just move on, just forget about it. No, fuck that shit. Because if you move on and forget about it, my ass still gonna come the fuck up. Best believe that. Best believe that because I know how to find out what I need to know. And I am a Sagittarius investigative person by nature. Best believe that. But anyway, I just feel that I can let go when I want to, but I also linger too long as well. But I don't know. When a man like Floyd Mayweather told me early on when we were dating, he said, you're my ideal wife. And he still hasn't got married yet. That makes me feel good. Because he had been with every kind of woman there is of all kind of complexions, hair textures, nationalities and things and so forth globally. And I was his apple of his eye when we were kids. I was his first love. I was the one who taught him how to slow dance. And he used to put his feet on top of my feet and I used to dance with him and teach him how to slow dance. Learn how to slow dance. That's why he was good at dancing at the stars. I take a little bit of credit for that. Not all credit, but a little bit. That was your first step. So, hey. But he has not gotten married yet. And I did see Floyd. The last time I saw Floyd is when he was going to fight with Pacquiao. And I didn't live that far from him in Las Vegas. And I ran into him when he was jogging, and we talked, we chatted, and he came over in his white Bentley. And actually, I found out later on he was my landlord. Because I was trying to figure out, why does this place look so familiar that I'm leasing? And I found out he was my landlord later. It was funny. But it's not the first time he's been my landlord, because I had a house in Torrance that he was the landlord of, but my sister was living there. And I came to the house. I said, why does this house look so damn familiar? And I said, this house look familiar. Why does this house look familiar? I've been in this house before. And my sister was living in it with my other sisters, and my nieces and nephews were living in this 5-bedroom home we had with 4 baths in Torrance. And it didn't dawn on me later. I said, this is Floyd's old house. Damn, he the landlord here too? And we always find our way into being one of his tenants. Floyd had a lot of property. But for some reason, we always end up being one of his tenants for some reason. Accidentally, just a coincidence, not intentionally. And we always end up being one of his tenants. It was funny, though, how that happened. But I was always just kind of thrilled at that. You know, when I look at him today and I say, oh, wow, Floyd Sue hasn't gotten married. And I remember, I always think of those words he say. I was always his ideal wife. And I'm like, oh, I must still be his ideal wife because he hasn't gotten married yet. So that makes me think that he's been grinding with different people and intertwined with different people. But obviously there's something about me that I must did right, that he liked. And, you know, I'm still there somewhere, you know. And one of my friends, Curry, said that. He said, you must be still in Floyd's bosom somewhere. Because I could just tell by the way he does business, the way he does certain things. Like, you were little then, but it's just something there about you that he hasn't erased yet. I said, well, yeah, you know, I mean, you know. But he has a little ego about some stuff. But like I said, I've always seen him as Floyd. I don't see him as Floyd, really a celebrity. I'm proud of him, of everything that he's accomplished, though. I love everything that he's accomplished. I admire that. He was always burning with fire to be someone, to be a boxer, and boxing was always his B plan and nothing else. And he always wanted to be successful so he could take care of his family. So I understood where he came from with Mama food stamps and stuff, because mom, Florence Ballard, had food stamps. And I understand that, where he came from, you know. So I knew what his drive was. And he had a very dedicated father, Floyd Sr., very dedicated father, very dedicated man, very determined to put his son first, and he did. I remember when his father lost his boxing debut. And then after that, he said, well, I lost mine, but I'm going to focus on him now. And I remember him doing that. And that's where his mind was at. And ever since then, he took his son to the top. And he was just, Lil Floyd was like, I'm going to be a boxer. And he was serious about that. And he was a young little boy that watched boxing videos. I mean, not videos, but black and white television boxing all day long. And he absorbed all of that. He absorbed every move, every pace that other boxers made. And he made it his own game and his own techniques and his own ways. And it made him the greatest of all time. It made him the GOAT that he is today. So I'm very proud to see him come from those beginnings. And I'm very proud to see Robert come from his beginnings as well, because I grew up with Robert as well. And I'm very proud to see him come from those beginnings, because Robert never robbed anybody. He never sold dope to do anything. He got trapped in the pussy traps. Eddie Murphy had it on Raw. He said, pussy traps, they'll get you every time. Trap the pussy. He got caught up in the pussy traps. You know, but he's a black man in America. Somebody got to go down. And they used the White Man Act to protect the white guys versus what my great uncle, who was Ulysses Grant, the 18th president of the United States, who had the justice system set up to protect African Americans. But they had to lock up Robert because he's black. And then the white guys who was dealing with him got off. They got acquitted. But they used that White Man Act for them to get off. But that's how the system is. The system in America has never been set up for black people to really be treated fairly. It was supposed to be when my great uncle was in the White House, it was set up that way for us to be treated fairly because he's the one who set it up. But after that, people were against it. And they didn't want that for us, you know. I had a man that walked past me a few days ago, like last week or so, and he said the N-word to me. And I said, well, being white must have made your ass crazy then. You know? Because people like that, I just have to address them. Didn't nobody ask your ancestry or your people to go way over there to Africa and bring our people over here with your nosy asses? So your people, about the people that you hate over here, we didn't ask you to travel on a boat to come get us. Know the damn difference. Shit. Anyway, I get tired of people always trying to use the N-word and shit. Nobody ask your ass to go over to Africa any damn way, taking people from their damn land and bringing them over here to America. No one asked your ass to do it. You brought us here by force. Kidnapping. Shit. Gonna hate some damn body in America when it was your ass to travel your ass over there to go get them. Now, is that not crazy or what? Anyway, that's about it. So I just want to say, at the end of this commentary, Drea, may God bless you anyway, girl, on what you're trying to do. But to me, it's double-sided. But don't think, Drea, that one day nobody's not going to turn the table and come after you later. Because the same thing that happened to Robert can happen to you. And I know you've been working on yourself. You have probably read a lot of psychology books. But people are watching. Because I know I'm damn watching. Okay? But you parents out there, y'all double-sided too. Because I saw this mother on television talking about, I gave my daughter as a gift to Robert. What the hell are you talking about? You gave your daughter a gift to Robert. What the fuck is that? Huh? What? What? Huh? Oh, Lord have mercy. But I'm sure, Drea, you got permission slip signed or something. I don't know. But go ahead. Do your thing. It's all right for you to do what you do in Atlanta or wherever else. But I see it two-sided. I see it two-sided. So don't get too comfortable. But it's working for you right now. Because there are a lot of people that wanted to get Robert for whatever reason. That Negro may not could read, but he was still smart in a lot of ways. But don't get too damn comfortable, because there are people who still love Robert Kelly and R. Kelly. And those of you who need to get that commissary money each time it gets up to $25,000, he got fans out there that's helping him have those commissary amounts. So he got some people that still love him too. You know, so God is still on his side either way. He's blessing everybody. He's blessing the victims who had an opportunity to be on television and become instant stars by talking to Gayle King. He blessed Andrea to be able to move on, to do what she does. And Robert, he's incarcerated, but God has blessed him too to have to be a celebrity who has fans that loved him, that has funded him money, and his commissary that loved him too. So it's a win-win for everyone in some kind of way. Even though Robert had a downfall, it's still a win-win for everybody in some kind of way. And if you all have to depend on Robert Kelly's commissary monthly to take care of you while he's incarcerated the next 30 years, that's going to be very interesting that you're going to have to be taken care of through his restitution, commissary, funds while he's incarcerated, while you on the outside and he's on the inside. That's going to be interesting to me. Because if his commissary stays up there in $25,000 amounts and you all saying, we need to get this kind of money out of him. I need back child support. I need this, I need that, and I need this money, then shit. He was a damn good man in a lot of ways, wasn't he? Because you still need to feed yourself with this man's money. And if he still got to take care of you, then you're still connected to him. So you haven't even moved on. Because if it were me, I would move on. I wouldn't give a damn about no damn money. I would move on. Justice would have been enough for me. But not these people. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Justice is not enough. We want his royalty money. You know, come on, people. You're in it for the money. Admit that shit. I mean, my God. You're going to be after this man's royalty checks that he's supposed to be getting? Sony ain't going to give it to you. I guarantee you that Tommy Mottola ain't going to give you nothing. Because why? You didn't write nothing. You didn't sing nothing. You didn't produce nothing. And he's the man. He's not going to give up anything. He didn't do it for Michael. He ain't going to do it for you. And he ain't do it for Prince either. He's not going to give up anything. So he has a trail record of that. Anyway, that's all I have to say. So the best of luck to everyone who participates in Drea Kelly's cabarets. They look good. They look cool. But it's a landslide to me. You know, but I understand what you're trying to do. I understand the vision. But at the same time, it looks like it's a landslide to me. So, I would just take it one day at a time, and I'll say, don't get too comfortable, Drea. Don't get too comfortable. You may have been a victim, but you the one right now recruiting. So, keep that in mind. So, I know you're going to keep it as clean, maybe, but you ain't looking too far from a madam yourself. So, don't think these young people are not going to come back later and say something different like they did with him too. But you good, girl. You good. And I know you're in a position to also be enticing, because that's how it looks, and to also mold people to think a certain way as well when it comes to your dancing and performances. Because you're the teacher now, and that's what you wanted. But anyway, the best of luck to all of you. Victims, mothers, and parents, and so on and so forth. So, my vision would be, if this works out, then we'll have saloon parlors all over the world again. They're already over the world, all over the world now, but they'll probably start opening them up. We're going to be going back to the Wild Wild West ways days and everything, and having more cabarets and stuff. And people are going to say, you know, you guys are always standing up fighting for something. So when you stand up and fight for something that you know you want to fight for, everyone goes, see, it's your body. You can do what you want to do with it. And just, you know, you can put on, you can be naked and do whatever the hell you want to do. You ain't even got to do it on the ballot. Just go ahead and just do it. Just do it. You know, because it's all part of being godly, and God gave you a gift. and a talent, and you know you're going to use it. Anyway, that's it. This is Variety Schoenever for Akashi Media Podcast Live, giving you a commentary on Drea Kelly's Cabarets. Take care. Bye-bye.
Staring each other down. till I just can't take no more. Come on and do me, baby, like you never done before. Oh, I want you now, I just can't wait no more, can't wait. Oh,
sit there and watch. All right. You sure you don't want to close your eyes? Oh.
Okay, baby. Just let me do all the work. Wait, let me put this record on. Not touch me there.